Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY22 results conference call of Pioneer Embroideries Limited, hosted by Kirin Advisors Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vastupal Shah of Kirin Advisors Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to welcome Mr. Harshvardhan Masih, Managing Director of Pioneer Embroideries Limited, Mr. Saurabh Maheshwari, Executive Director of the company, and Mr. Deepak Sipani, CFO of the company. I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Harshvardhan Masih for the opening remarks. Harshvardhan, sir, over to you.
Good afternoon, everyone. My colleagues and I thank you for taking time out from your busy schedules and extend a warm welcome to all of you for the conference call of Pioneer Embroideries Limited first quarter FY22 earnings call. Before we take you through the performance of our company in the first quarter, let me elucidate the economic conditions that prevailed during the period under review. While the impact of corona pandemic is still being felt across the industry, there seems to be some demand recovery and economy is getting back to normalcy. The second wave did have a negative impact on the industry, leading to unexpected lockdowns, factory shutdowns, and demand disruption for the first 2 months of FY22. At the same time, S&P Global Ratings cut India's growth forecast for the current fiscal to 9.5% from 11% earlier and warned of risk to the outlook from further waves of COVID pandemic, stating that the permanent damage to certain public sector balance sheets will constrain growth over the next couple of years. It projected India's growth at 7.8% in the next fiscal ending March 31, 2023. While, you know, if I talk about the textile industry, we did see a demand recovery from fourth quarter of FY21. Better export demand, coupled with higher operating leverage, we believe will lead to improvement in the profitability of exporters in fiscal 2022, bringing it to near fiscal 2020 levels. Already, we are witnessing a strong surge in demand that has helped increase sales, the employment as well as earning levels are stabilizing. While there are talks about the third wave of COVID, we believe that the impact would not be very severe as the country is majorly vaccinated, people are largely adhering to safety rules, and most importantly, these steps have been taken by the central and the respective state governments to break the chain. With normalization of income levels and restricted import supply, we believe the demand to stay strong with better realization. We believe FY22 started on a positive note, and it will continue to remain so for the rest of the year. Personally, for Pioneer Embroideries Limited, COVID-19 first wave was a time for new learnings. The lockdown provided us with new perspectives, which helped us to better ourselves, and at the same time, we were able to increase our global clientele. The nimbleness that we inculcated over the years has stood us in good stead. While we continue to see huge potentials in both specialized polyester filament yarn, embroidery and lace business, and we continue to invest in our brands, Silkolite and Hakoba. Our FPFY business will continue to drive our future growth due to its unique approach for providing end-to-end solutions. Our company is amongst the very few companies which have created their own special brand in yarn segment. Silkolite, our FPFY brand, is well established and recognized globally for its quality. With our current yarn capacity at about 18,000 tons per annum, company's product find application mainly in non-apparel segment used in carpets, bath mats, upholstery fabrics, and curtains. Our embroidery business has capacity of about 14 million meters of laces per annum and about 1,700 million stitches per annum for embroidered fabrics. Pioneer Embroideries Limited enjoys premium in marketplace because of better quality, designing, and our capacity. And our retail, coming to our retail brand Hakoba, our products are also now available at our online store, hakoba.in, along with Amazon, to widen the reach for our customers. And we have, in fact, also put our the normal lace collections which come from Pioneer Embroideries Limited stable, not under the Hakoba brand, on Amazon platform. Now, I will hand over the floor to Mr. Deepak to take you through the financial performance, and post that we will take the questions. Deepak.
Thank you, Harji. Good afternoon, everyone. Our company continued a strong performance for fourth quarter of FY21 in the new financial year. In the first quarter, we have saw a turnaround in profits. Now, let me give you an overview of the financial performance of Finance and Logistics Limited. Our company reported an impressive quarter one FY22 result, where the total income soared by 168% to Rs. 663 million. The improvement in spite of pandemic was primarily driven by the improvement in demand and better pricing strategy. Further, there was a huge demand from domestic market. This contributed 87% to the revenue in Q1 FY22, while the exports stood at 13%. Harji spoke about the nimbleness of our company has as part of its DNA. So during the period under review, our company continued to focus on the market, which were most opportunistic. The growth in domestic business stood at almost 225% over Q1 FY21, while exports grew by 20% during the same period. The EBITDA improved over fourfold to Rs. 69 million from Rs. 15 million in the corresponding quarter due to volume growth. This enhanced the EBITDA margin by 426 basis points, bringing the bottom line in the black. Further, the repayment of loan by the company during the last year helped it to reduce its finance cost from Rs. 12.1 million to Rs. 6.75 million, strongly supporting the bottom line. The turnaround story continued for the company with a net profit of Rs. 30.5 million for reported quarter as against a loss of Rs. 16.8 million. The net profit margin was at 4.6% for the reported quarter. When compared to the corresponding previous quarter, the domestic demand in Q1 FY22 was much better as the business activity in Q1 FY21 was more severely affected by the COVID-19 pandemic. Now let me share the business-wise performance of the company. The production of SPFY increased by 173% to 3964 metric tons from 1404 metric tons in the corresponding period. The sales of SPFY increased by 145% to 3804 metric tons from 1553 metric tons. During the same period, embroidery grew by 89% to 1666 million stitches from 881 million stitches. The embroidery laces grew by 224% to 2,43,000 meters from 75,000 meters. In sales, the SPFY reported strong increase of Rs. 612 million from Rs. 229 million, registering a 168% growth. During the same period, embroidery sales grew by 171% to Rs. 51 million from 19 million. Now we open the floor for question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Amit Doshi from Care PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon, Harji. Just wanted to know about why got exports got hit this year? I mean, this quarter, any specific logistical issues or demand, anything that you can shed light on?
Good afternoon, Mr. Amit. So basically, it's all depends on how the deliveries are planned. Demand did get hit a bit with the rising logistic prices, but not in terms of, it's probably by choice, because like I've mentioned earlier also, we are an EBITDA-driven company. we always take a call whether we want to, what kind of orders we want to take, whether it is domestic or exports. It really doesn't make a difference as long as they are contributing nicely to the margins. So it is nothing that the orders have fallen down. It is a conscious call that we've chosen. And the first quarter, in any case, is typically suboptimal for us. Not for us, largely in the textile space, because that's the time where, you know, the season is just about starting. You're busy with sampling. You're doing the preparation for the high season, which is typically the second and third quarter. And then it sort of trickles down in the fourth and, or trickles up as it happened last year. So it's pretty normal for us.
Okay, okay, okay. So, in terms of margin, of course, the year-on-year we have improved, but Q-on-Q sequentially it has come down. So is it because of that, continuous price rise and prices, etc., that were up, and probably in Q3, Q4, we got an advantage of that inventory gains, etc.?
Saurabh, you want to take that?
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Amit. Thank you, Arjun. Yeah, the point mentioned is absolutely right. I mean, Q3, Q4, we got an advantage of inventory and the lower raw material price, whereas Q1 is, we are having very high raw material price. So typically, we are in line with the normal margins what we are getting over the years and all. And as Harji mentioned, like Q1 is typically a low volume, low margin quarter as compared to Q2, Q3 and Q4.
Okay, okay. So the sustainable range of annualized, right, including, the soft quarters and strong quarters. So annualized basis, would 12%, 14%, or what should be a sustainable EBITDA margin rate that you would?
Yeah. 12 to 15 is sustainable.
Okay, okay, okay. And what would have been our capacity utilization for this quarter, Q1? I mean, I believe that Q4 last year was, I think, for around 85-90% capacity utilization.
Q4 was about 94 or 95% last year. Right now, first quarter is about 80%, owing to the COVID second wave. And it is now already improving. We are seeing regular improvements, but on average, Q1 has been about 80%.
Okay, okay. But going forward, you see this as an improving trend?
Yeah, I mean, the things are improving, and the trend right now on ground, on the shop floor, the trend is improving. So we have no reasons to believe to the contrary.
So 94 to 80, you would attribute to the clearly to the second COVID wave?
What kind of the product mix that you're running? There are a lot of other factors which contribute.
Okay, okay, okay.
The
okay,
product
fair.
Mix and what kind of orders you have. So, and second wave definitely impacted a bit because of lower than normal labor presence. And then it happened across the market. So, but now things are opening up, and I think everyone handled the second wave much better. So we are quite optimistic.
Okay,
and
okay.
The order books remain healthy, so there's no reason for concern.
So now in terms of yarn prices and all, how is it moving? As I said, last year was, of course, phenomenally jump, etc. Now is it stabilizing? Is it same? Is it, can you share some outlook?
Saurabh, you want to take that?
Yeah, I mean, we can say it is stabilizing. Last Q3, Q4 were exceptional. And now this is a stabilization phase, and we are pretty confident of doing well.
Okay. And the last one from my side, about this Hakoba, like you said, you have Hakoba.in as well as you have started now with Amazon as well. What kind of contribution do you expect on an annualized basis? Also, it's okay to just to get a feel of it.
It is honestly way too nascent right now to comment on it. We've just come out of this bad COVID year in terms of for the embroidery business, because the ready-made segment took one of the bigger hits along with the hospitality and other such discretionary spent kind of businesses. So this is just the start. We are seeing a robust demand both in our embroidery, and Hakoba has also slowly started picking up. I would be in a much better position, Mr. Toshi, to comment on it probably end of the second quarter. I would not want to put a number to it, but all I can say is that we are seeing a good increasing trend. We are seeing a good traction on our the web store. And in fact, we also have a store, Hakoba store, incidentally now on Hakoba, on Amazon, which mirrors the Hakoba own store at hakoba.in. So we are doing, you would see a lot of connectivity happening with the consumers going forward. So probably end of second quarter, I'll be able to answer this question better.
Okay, okay. Thank you so much and I'll wish you all the best.
Thank you, Mr. Doshi.
The next question is from the line of Nirmal Shah from Seraphic Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. I just wanted to understand your yarn business. How much percentage of the revenue comes from exports for in yarn business?
Saurabh, you want to take that?
Yeah, good afternoon. Typically we can say like the exports contributes around 20 to 25% of the total turnover in yarns.
Okay. Sir, was it significant 1-2 years back?
No, no. This is the same levels we have been operating at.
Okay.
Quite a number of years, yeah. But as we have always reiterated that we are an EBITDA driven company. For us, it doesn't matter whether the EBITDAs are coming from exports or domestic. We take a call for every month while we are planning our production planning. So if the margins are better in exports, we accept export orders. If they are better in domestic, we accept domestic orders. So that nimbleness is always there.
And I will also add here, Mr. Shah, for your benefit of understanding, what Saurabh mentioned, 20% is the direct exports that we make. But then there is also an indirect export, which is the 40% bucket, which is basically the yarn that we supply to exporters, which in turn gets converted into floor bath mats or carpets or floor, a different kind of floor coverings or upholstery, tapestry, and gets exported. And then 40% is pure play domestic. That's been the kind of ratio that we've been witnessing over the years. And that is pretty much stable, thing that, we can sort of commit to or what we see. 40, 40 and 20.
Okay, so just little bit, sir, going into the history, there was one of your top line Global Tax, right? You were supplying to them at one point, then it got discontinued and again you are not supplying. Can you tell me what actually went wrong during, because they used to account very big chunk of your yarn business, right?
Sorry, Mr. Shah, I couldn't hear. You are talking of Global Tax.
There is one client of yours, which you are based out of Europe, right? You used to supply yarn and they used to account some 10-12% of your revenues, right?
Correct, yeah.
So then last year before, I think that client actually discontinued, right? Taking yarn from you. And then again, it seems you have started supplying to them. So can you just take us through what went wrong? And now, it also had an impact on your financials, right? When there was a stoppage of supplies from your client, when they stopped sourcing from you?
No, no. Last year was perfect with them. And the year before last, what you are mentioning, there, as we said, like we take a call on export margins and domestic margins. So that year, exports were particularly down. And Global Tax is only a trader. So it's a wide customers which he is covering. So last year was a lower business with them. Otherwise, we have stayed strong with them and it continues this year also.
Okay. So what do you mean basically is that you took a conscious decision not to supply them because the margins at that point of time were more lucrative to supply somewhere else. Are you trying to say that?
Yes. Last year.
Okay. So right now, the way you are saying that the demand is picking up, it's pretty good. You have a strong order book with respect to domestic market. So you mean basically the domestic carpet manufacturers who in turn are going to export to US and Europe, right?
Yes, right. Absolutely.
Right?
Yes, absolutely right.
So what is the kind of order book, sir, if you can quantify right now? Is it
in yarn business? In yarn business, we have an order book of currently around 45 days in hand.
And as a, okay. So generally, this is the normal order book phase, or generally you operate for 2-3 longer lead times?
No, no. It stays normally between 25 to 45 days, normally.
Okay. And sir, your 18,000 tons of capacity what you have in yarn, do you work based on a percentage EBITDA margin, or you actually focus on the absolute EBITDA per ton kind of a benchmark when you want to maintain the profitability?
No, no. In yarn business, you know, when Dahlias plays a lot, a very major role. So we are going on absolute contribution, what a product is contributing. We cannot focus on EBITDA per ton, because when you go to a lower denier, then your EBITDA per ton may be very high, but ultimately absolute EBITDAs can be lower, because then you can't produce too much of quantities in that.
So basically throughput and yields are different, basically.
Sorry?
The throughput or the yields what you get are different. That's why you look at a overall percentage margin. Are you trying
We look at overall percentage margins, overall contribution margins.
Okay. And sir, for last question from my side, about your embroidery business, so who would be your end client, if you can just give some characteristics of that business, and end what are client, the demand drivers?
So the end client, Mr. Shah, are the domestic market. We have customers in domestic market, so they would be like wholesalers and traders of fabrics and laces. Then there would be, and going down the chain, there could be the boutique owners, there could be the end, right, going down to the end customer, because the same fabric gets converted into the fabrics of Sadwar, Kameez, Dupatta. It's a very versatile kind of field, and you could do the fabrics that we embroider can be converted into Indo-Westerns, you know, pure Westerns, so on and so forth. And then the other segment that we cater to is garment exporters, which is again a huge segment. So they work with the best of the brands. You know, we also work with a lot of international brands. We present our collections to them. And then they ultimately place orders with the garment exporters, and which then gets converted into, you know, they place orders, further orders for fabrics and laces with us. So that is the two main segments. You know, the, and then we make our own products also, which are different kind of laces, but again sold through the similar ecosystem of domestic market. So that is pretty much the demographic we supply to, domestic and garment exporters, and then also exporters for home furnishings, because same machine you also manufacture, these laces can be used for in the home furnishing segment as well, and so the machines are pretty versatile, and so is the product range.
So how big the export contribution would be in that division?
This is a smaller business now. This is a smaller. So when we started, we were a hardcore embroidery company, and once we got into yarn, slowly, you know, yarn became much bigger. Today, yarn contributes to almost 90% of our turnover, and 10% is the embroidery business. So in that sense, but largely the percentages remain the same. In embroidery also, we export also directly. Then we supply to, which is typically around 18 to 20%. Then 40% is again garment exporter or home furnishing exporters, and 40% is domestic.
Okay. And so you have any capacity expansion plan?
So like any good business, we keep on looking for opportunities, and depending on when the time is right and how the market outlook is, we look at it, and we are always open to that. I mean, I would not be able to, you know, sort of give a clear window on that, but yes, we continue to look at it, and as the time is right, we will be announcing.
Awesome. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nilesh Karani from Magnum Equities Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Just a couple of questions. Sir, your finance cost is reduced drastically, and secondly, your margins have increased super, like it is really good. So how do we see going forward, like whether our margins would be at the same level or the means more better level than what we are seeing at 10.4 right now, can be escalated to 13% or so, or what?
So Mr. Karani, thank you for the question. See, we obviously would be working to better them, but again, while our performance and how we connect with our customers and how we retain them is our part of the to-do list. At the same time, what COVID has taught everyone that things can get a little gray at any given moment, and everyone is talking about the third wave. While we are very confident as a company and from what we read and what we see, when the first wave happened, everyone was caught unawares. Management itself was extremely difficult, and that shows in the performance. I'm talking specifically, but we learned a lot during that time. We really, really evolved as a company. Going down, looking at our business from a distance, we could sort of start thinking out of box from a very conservative textile company to a point where right down to worker, almost everyone can go on Google Meet, or we can see our samples online and do whatever we want to do. And learned new ways of doing business, which showed in our performance during the second wave. The entire learning that you see, from a point of hardly any performance in first quarter to a 94-95% capacity utilization in the last quarter, it was not just the orders, but it was much better management of a tighter ship, already tighter ship, tighter run ship. So we, as a company, we are absolutely confident that of our work and our performance. But at the same time, we will give absolute importance to if the other factors, which should be the black swan events, some things which are not in our control. And having said that, yes, we do look to definitely maintain this performance and make every single effort to better it.
Yeah, sir, thank you for that answer. But again, see, I just wanted to understand whether our margins will be more better or would be at the same levels what we are seeing it right now, and probably our turnover will increase. What is that now, going forward, if I want to look at your company, so what will be that better proportion, margin also increasing and turnover also increasing, or only margins increasing and what?
The turnover will definitely increase because of a simple fact that the first quarter difference between the 2 years is there for everyone to see. So if you compare year to year, the turnover would increase. And margins, we see margins largely stable at this, around this portion that we are currently witnessing. So to that extent, because again, we have to keep in mind possibility of third wave. So largely the similar percentages.
But for example, if we don't consider that third wave, then probably we would be much better than what we are seeing right now, or?
No, I think it would be a much better managed position third wave. That's why I'm saying we'll be able to maintain the numbers, the percentage, in terms of percentage, the margins.
Okay. And the last question is, like, sir, our pledge shares, I think, was almost 60%, or I think. So have we.
Sorry? Go on. Have we.
The pledge shares, the company had shares been pledged at around 60%, I think, of your equity, basically promoter equity.
Yeah.
So now.
So there is.
Yeah. Yeah, tell me.
So there is no pledge as such. I mean, in the sense that we've not pledged our shares and raised money against it. Basically, we had taken a normal loan that you take from bank, and it was part of the sanction letter. And this was almost like five or six years back with Kotak Mahindra, and where they had, as part of security, they wanted some shares to be put in as security as well as their normal banking practice, which was done. And in all probability, since our loans are really coming down, in all probability, by end of this quarter, hopefully everything should be released as well, because their margin, their coverage is more than adequate.
And so your promoter holding is quite low in the company. So just to understand, like.
It's currently at about 33%.
Correct.
But yeah, so the idea is to invest in the business and work hard, and everything else will fall into place at the right time. So we increased it a bit last year. We did a preferential, and we picked up something from the market as well. But right now it is at about 33%, which is, we feel, is okay for now.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Karani.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhairya Trivedi from DJT Corporation and Investment. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to the management team. Sir, I just had a couple of questions. First is, you know, with the tensions escalating between US and China, do you see exports as a larger component of our overall revenues going forward?
Yes, I do feel that it trickles down to the larger ecosystem. It is showing now growths of revival. Then it will come down and benefit the entire ecosystem. So to that extent, yes, we will get a lot more opportunities. But like earlier, what Mr. Maheshwari also said, we are, and I reiterate, we are largely an EBITDA-driven company. Opportunities are there. And if they are suitable, we will absolutely take benefits of them. But to your specific answer, yes, we do feel that there would be a lot more opportunities to export now.
Okay, so how much do we see, you know, the export component going up to? Currently, I think it's at about 20% for FY21. Do we see it, you know, stabilizing at, say, around 30-35% going forward because of the increased opportunities in the U.S. market?
Again, depends on what kind of orders we are getting and whether we feel as a company those opportunities need to be taken in terms of margins that they're offering. So if everything is falling in place, then they would definitely increase, because it's not that the opportunity is not there now. That 20% that you see now is also a result of what we pick and choose. The opportunities that we get and the ones that we, you know, sort of accept and go forward with. So to that extent, yes, the like I said, opportunities we feel would be there. And if the margins are good, then definitely from 20 to 30, maybe even more.
Right, right. And just to add to that point, I mean, you said that you basically focus on margins. If the margins are better on the domestic front, then you kind of, you know, go ahead with those orders. But does that not create continuity issues with the you know, foreign clients? Because if for example, there's an order which you're not able to process because of, you know, margins being slightly on the subdued side, then going forward, you may lose that client, right?
No, that has not happened till now. It has not happened because we also understand how the market moves. And clients also have been with us for a long time. And I don't foresee that happening. As a company, we are not transactional in that sense. So whatever clients we have, they also understand. And, you know, we do pick up new clients as and when opportunity arises. But no, and in any case, once you've signed a contract, then whether the rate comes down or goes up or whatever, then you do supply. So that part is in place and that is quite well respected globally.
Okay. And so, I mean, what would be the percentage of, you know, retailer clients that we have in the export market currently?
Saurabh, you want to take that?
Yeah. No, I think we have very good retention percentage. So we can say 70% to 75% of our business is from repeat customers. But as Harjri mentioned earlier also, it is not only the direct export part which we have to look at. We are also supplying a lot to the exporters which are based in India, who in turn are exporting made-ups to US, Europe and all across the globe. So with tensions escalating between US and China, as you rightly mentioned, there are a lot of tariffs which are being put on Chinese products which are arriving in US. And the export freight from China to US is skyrocketed. I mean, 140-foot container is now almost costing $12,000. And from India, it is still at a sustainable level of 8,000, though it has also gone up by 4 times. The issue is, because of all this, Indian manufacturers, the made-up manufacturers, as well as the yarn manufacturers, are definitely going to benefit from this situation. And with the negative image of China going up only, textile sector for India will definitely stand to gain a lot. That's what we also foresee, and we are ready for it. We are ready for the enhanced demand and everything.
That is right. But we don't see any continuity issues with, you know, some of our foreign clients, right? Given the fact that we are not able to supply to them at times, because of the margins being on the lower side?
Yes, we are not into any monopolistic item, and it is they are all available. It is not monopolistic. The items where we have monopoly, there we have repeat business all the time. It is only where the product is less special and competition is available, there we need to take a call whether to continue that export customer with that commodity, or we shift to a better opportunity which is also for an indirect exports but supplies to India.
Right, okay. And my last question is on the revenue side. Can we see the run rate of, you know, the 80 crores that we did in the March quarter? Can that be a sustainable run rate going forward for the next three quarters if everything is kind of, you know, all right and there's no third wave?
Yeah. Typically, I mean, quarter one versus quarter two. Quarter two is always better than quarter one. Quarter three is always better than quarter two. And quarter four is a mix. Like last year was exceptional, but we can say it is an uptrend only from quarter one. If there is no third wave, of course, that's you already mentioned. Yes.
Correct. All right. That helps a lot. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I would like to remind participants that you may press star 1 to ask a question. Participants to ask a question, you may press star and 1 now. The next question is from the line of Jaina Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon. I would like to know more about the brand Hakoba, sir. So what is your vision for the brand Hakoba in next 3 to 5 years?
Okay. So thank you for the question, Misha. So Hakoba, I'll give you the vision broadly. I mean, without getting into too many specifics, but broadly the idea would be to grow the brand in the online space, have few stores, sort of experience stores in the main centers across the country, and then grow the categories. The idea would be that Hakoba is such a well-known brand, it's a heritage brand. But largely, people in the age group of, let's say, 35 to plus sort of identify with it. So our main, focus areas would be to sort of bring down the age of the consumer for us and become more engaging for the younger customer. Because we know we are very good with a certain age group. But if we engage with a generation before, then it gives us a much larger, demography to work with. And that many more customers who can experience the beautiful offerings that Hakoba has to make. And we are also, we would also be getting back into the ready-made segment at some point. Probably some point pretty soon. Earlier, there was a time when Hakoba was offering, the kurtis, gents kurta pajamas. There were, in fact, even shirts, which were extremely famous, our embroidery. We were the first one in the country to ever come out with embroidered gents shirts. So all those things, a lot of things which were bestsellers for Hakoba at the time are being revived. A lot more is being added, which would be with the current sensibilities, because things have changed. Earlier, designers and everything were there now, but now you have internet you have Instagram, then you have stylists. It's more about style now rather than the fashion. And then fashion is expendable because the moment you come on Instagram or your picture comes on Facebook, person doesn't want to wear that thing again or be photographed in the same thing. So we are also changing with the times. We are in the process of ideating, reinventing the brand. And the results would be for all to see. So we have some very good plans for Hakoba. And they all would be visible and would be announced in due course.
Okay, thank you, sir. As you rightly said that the brand is very known for the Gen X and before that, but how are you planning to make it more millennial and Gen Z relatable? So what are you planning to do the how are you planning to do the market positioning of the brand?
So right from you know, one part is normal, like every brand does that. Okay, you engage the agencies which help you market it on social media and all that. So that part is a given. I mean, I don't need to say that. So we would be engaging with the good agencies and you know, which would help us there. A good use of you know, influencers. But most importantly, you know, it's like a restaurant. People will only go to a restaurant if the food is good. Your core has to be good. It's not that you have interiors and everything is good and people continue to come to your stores. No, so our basic is fashion. So, you know, we would need to, and that's what we are addressing right now as we speak about it. Honestly, it's a little too soon. But as we speak, our designers are working on it. They're working overtime on how to make the brand more relevant for the Gen Z, as you rightly said, and to make it a go-to place for them. So one would be the use of fashion, the latest trends, make it more affordable in that sense so that, you know, you have to make it affordable to the extent that it becomes expendable, because it is going to be expendable. We cannot deny that few times you get pictured or you are tagged in certain posts and all that, so then you really don't want to use it in that area. And so we are doing all these exercises and you will see the result pretty soon.
Oh, thank you, sir. On following on that question again, so as you said that you would like to make the brand affordable for the millennials and Gen Z, so have you come down to any price range or what will be the cost of the products which you are planning to show the millennials?
No, not right now. You see, there are a lot of ways of engaging, Misha. It's one, pricing is one, but then, you know, a lot of people now, sustainability is extremely important to the new generation, you know. So what we've done is in Hakoba, if you go on our online store, we now have a organic collection, which is there. So it has been produced in our factory, which is approved for organic embroidery production. And so it is 100% bought certified organic product, which we launched for the first time. The response has been great. Right now, what you see is in fabric form, and now move forward, we are seeing how to convert it into apparel as well. So there are ways of engaging. And as far as the pricing is concerned, within the matrix of what we are offering, the pricing would be quite compulsive. I mean, we are absolutely cognizant of the fact that you cannot outprice yourself and still hope to gain a market share. Even the you know, all the designers, also the best known names, have come down with affordable ranges, and so that's where our head is also at the moment. So we will be in the right space, let me put it this way.
Okay. So also I have one last question. So as I can see right now that we have our own website and the fabric is sold on that. So are we planning to expand the e-commerce area in the while selling the other products?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, if you go on Amazon for the first time now, the normal laces that Pioneer Embroidery Limited produces and which it exports or it supplies to garment this domestic market, all these, they are available online as well. So they are available on Amazon now, and which is a first for us. And being a little conservative, originally a conservative textile company. So this lockdown taught us a lot, actually. So, and we were, I hope to believe that we are good students. So we learned a lot. So we've just about launched them. So this is just a start. We are also planning to launch some of our more industrial products, the larger offering of embroideries that we have for domestic markets, the fabrics and other things in B2B segment, but that will come later. Right now it is in the planning stage. But when I say later, it's not later as in years away, but we are setting up the processes for that.
Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nirmal Shah from Seraphic Management. Please go ahead.
So just follow-up question to your yarn business. You mentioned that you actually also make... are there any two parts of your yarn business? One is a generic or a commodity business, and the other one is value-added, where your clients continue to source it from you throughout the any cycle. Is there a business like, are there two parts to it, or is it just a single commodity business in yarn?
No, Mr. Shah, it is not, we cannot actually classify it, but yeah, we definitely look at it this way, that there is one value-added component, which is almost 60 to 65% of our total volumes. Value-added means we are doing some processing on the yarn to make it and offer end-to-end solutions for our customers. And then the remaining 35% is the generic extrusion which we do, like the normal fully drawn yarns or the partially oriented yarns, which we call. So those are like kind of what you're mentioning, like easily available in the market and commoditized. Kind of. Okay. Like, it's not exactly a commodity because we are only making colors with us. So like commodity, when we say commodity, it normally tends to be a natural or raw white yarns. But for us, it is, for us, when we say value added versus extruded yarns, so extruded yarns are little less specialty, we can say.
And sir, over the years, the value-added yarn continues to be a for increasing percentage of your overall business. Means, like,
that has been the target, to increase value-added yarn component as far as possible.
So where do you see, can it become 100% within the next 3 years, or can you give some roadmap for that?
Sorry, I missed your question.
What I meant was the value-added yarn as a percentage of your total yarn, can it become 100% wherein you stop producing the yarn which is relatively low margin? Is there any roadmap? Can you share that?
No. And exactly. We will come up with the roadmap at the appropriate time. But right now, we don't want to do 100% value addition, because that then the nimbleness goes away. I mean, we want to stay in both the segments, and typically 2/3, 1/3 is the ratio which we want to maintain going forward also. Even what if whenever we decide to expand also, we will like to keep it this way only. This suits our business model.
And sir, what would be the margin differential between these two parts? Just the approximate range. I don't want any precise number, but just to get a understanding how differentiated the two parts are.
I mean, value-added yarns will fetch you maybe 5 to 7% more EBITDA than the normal yarns.
Oh. Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Shah.
Thank you. We would like to remind participants that you may press star 1 to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vasukul Shah of Kirin Advisors Limited for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for joining the conference call of Pioneer Embroideries Limited. If you have any further queries or questions, you can write us at vastupal@kirinadvisors.com. Thank you everyone for joining.
Thank you everyone.
On behalf of Kirin Advisors Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.